News Radio WJPF, Illinois State Representative David Severin on the line this morning. He's on his way to Springfield. Morning, David. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Tom. Doing great.
Got a lot to talk about this morning, so if I come at you kind of fast, apologies, all right? You took a tour of the tornado zone last week with the National Weather Service and other officials?
That's correct. With Kelly, that's the director for Williamson County EMA, and Ryan Buckingham was my driver that day. And we started on the east end and worked our way back to the west and checked out what had happened. And yes, sir.
It's interesting because I posted Brent Gentry, Williamson County Commissioner's appeal to residents to whatever damage they have to turn that information over to Williamson County. And a number of people said, why do I need to do that?
Well, it's important that they do that because determining how much damage is done will determine if, in fact, that area would qualify for any state reimbursement, federal reimbursement, those kinds of things. And so that's very important, and so they can keep track of that. And also for insurance adjusters, there's a lot of things that are affected by turning that information in.
And here's the thing: in a small community, and if you don't believe me, Harrisburg will be more than happy to tell you that you can have a large portion of your community destroyed if you're a small community, and it still doesn't meet this threshold for assistance. And that's been something that I've harped on for a number of years. That, you can wipe out, most of a small town in southern Illinois and still not get that assistance level hit because we're not as big and not as, bigger buildings or whatever the case, densely populated was one other way of looking at it. But what do you think the probabilities of us seeing any type of assistance from that last week's tornado?
Yeah, actually, I had a discussion with Kelly and Ryan that day when we were driving, our discussion was we don't feel like the thresholds are going to be high enough to they're going to qualify for any assistance. But you know what was encouraging that day? Them telling me as far as local businesses that had provided tarps and just emergency things that the people needed immediately that they might not have access to. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but still it shows the commitment of businesses and people. And as we were driving also, there were actually people that were putting tarps on their roofs as we drove by, stopped by and talked to see if they needed anything. And you could tell that the community was working hard to help one another, people helping neighbors out and those kinds of things. But from a state and federal level, the thresholds are not going to be high enough to receive any assistance there.
Was there any other takeaways from that event as state representative that you want to share with us when you learned more about what went on? Is there anything that you saw that maybe would surprise us?
Well, I tell you, it wasn't surprising. What was encouraging was the amount of commitment of people in southern Illinois helping each other out. And I think that's one of our strengths in southern Illinois is that people help people and businesses helping other people out. And also the communication between Ryan and Kelly and how they're working together. Actually, the afternoon and evening of the storm, I talked to Ryan Buckingham, who's the Franklin County EMA director, and he was down in Williamson County as soon as storms hit. He's down there helping. So it shows, how the different counties work together. And it's not like, hey, well, I hope everything works out for you. Talk to you later. And then Ryan was actually down there that day, the next day, helping Kelly out. And so I was very encouraged by that.
Yeah. Well, Mr. Buckingham was an employee here of us, River Radio, for a number of years, by the way. So no Ryan, no Bucky.
He's a great guy.
The session gets underway tomorrow. What's on the agenda? I noticed that when I was looking at the governor's schedule this morning that he has an event planned at 10 a.m. in Chicago, along with the lieutenant governor, to preview the upcoming session. What's your preview?
Well, I will tell you this. Actually, as you told the listeners, I'm en route right now. We're in set. The House is in session today at 12, and then the Senate is in session tomorrow. So we're scheduled on the House to be in session all week this week. And actually, we've got a full slate of committees this afternoon. As soon as we get out of session, I'm in five committees. I have three committees that I've got to be at the same time. So I've prioritized what committee I'll go to first, check in, get on the roll is how we do it. And then if there's something we want to vote on, we do that and then go to the next committee. And so some of the things that you earmarked earlier talked about as far as getting that bill out of executive committee, hopefully we can get that done for Walker's Bluff and get that taken care of. I've got some legislation working on to help schools save them some money, House Bill 4232, We've got the TIF district a bill that Senator Fowler carried from the city of Marion and Chris Container in Pepsi-Cola, Senate Bill 2303. He carried that in the Senate, and that's over in the House, and hopefully we'll get that taken care of soon. The other things that we'll be talking about as far as a budget and how to determine how do we have a balanced budget, well, we need to know what our revenue is going to be to determine what our expenses need to be. So that's some discussion. So there's a lot going on, and, you know, there hasn't been much going on this spring session for the simple fact that there was a primary. Now that that's over, we're busy from now till the end of May. Our goal, of course, will be to have that budget by May 31st. To continue to keep this state moving forward.
All right, now here's the thing. What will you see in the line of productivity? And I know it's really say, okay, now the primary is over. But, right. I mean, it seems like Illinois, the legislature just kind of locks up anytime we're in an election cycle, and here we are. The need for productivity in a scenario that very often we find ourselves paralyzed in because of the looming November election.
Oh, that's exactly right. And, you know, I tell people Of course, being a freshman, this is my second year, and so we'll see. What talk is cheap, as you well know, and so we'll see if people are really interested and concerned about the state, or are they concerned about their party, or are they concerned about their reelection. So we'll see how that goes, probably pretty quick. And I found this also that, you know, we stall and talk and all these different things, then all of a sudden when we get to crunch time, it's almost like an NBA basketball game. They mess around for 3.5 quarters, and about 4 minutes to go, all of a sudden they start getting with it. Well, I noticed that last year also, but I'm hoping it doesn't happen this year, that the legislators in the House, on the Republican and Democrat, both sides, I'm hoping that that we see the urgency of us working together and having a budget.
When it comes to the Walker's Bluff Resort and their proposed $170-plus million resort, if we haven't seen it come out of executive committee so far, what's the chance of it happening now? I know Walker's Bluff is kind of putting the full court press on when it comes to soliciting help from the general public to contact their legislators.
That's right, and also I will say this, and I think that just about everybody in Southern Illinois, those of us legislators in Southern Illinois, we're all locked arm in arm, committed to the success of Walker's Bluff and getting that done. But unfortunately, we don't have in our powers the ability to call that bill. So actually, when I get to Springfield, that's one of the first things I'm going to do is go and see Bob Rita and see what the holdup is, see what the plan is. Because, as you know, there was a bill previously, then they came out with a new bill, so it hasn't been out very long. And the discussion has been that this will get called and it will get taken care of. Now, talk is cheap, of course. So, again, what I've chose to do is rather than make phone calls, I like talking to somebody face-to-face. I know, unfortunately, right now we're talking, on the telephone, whatever. But, Tom, a successful interview is a whole lot better face-to-face. And so my goal is to get up to Springfield and to talk to Bob Rita and see where we are and then convey that information back to Walker's Bluff because time is of the essence.
What happens to a bill in executive committee when a speaker recuses himself in all gambling legislation, which is the case here? What happens to a piece of legislation when you don't see support either way from the speaker?
Well, that's what's interesting. I will say this, that in talking with legislators on the other side of the aisle that would carry this, they say that, you know, this can get done. The speaker has recused himself of this, but he hasn't stopped it. If he was going to stop it, they wouldn't have had that second bill, and it wouldn't be in executive committee right now. It'd be in rules, and the dead giveaway, if you ever want to know what's going on, if something's stuck in rules, that's telling you it's not going anywhere. So for it to be assigned to committee is an encouraging point, Tom. And so we just got to get it discussed in executive committee, get it passed, and then get it on the floor so you have a second reading, a third reading, discuss, vote on it, then it gets passed, then you got to get it back to the Senate. So there's work to be done.
You know, it's kind of weird. I'm going to get nostalgic here with you for a minute,
sure.
David. I've got an old friend of mine passed away a couple of years back. His name was Carl Ortel. And
yeah,
you
know, Carl.
You remember Carl? And
yes, sir.
You know, and every once in a while I would go on this incredible rant about gambling. You know, I was raised in a house where we weren't even allowed to play Monopoly because there was dice in that game, right?
And I'm
Carl
with you, Tom.
And Carl used and Carl used to say, "What part of gambling is legal is don't you understand?" Now you're wondering, where am I going with this? Well, what part of legal medical marijuana don't you understand? It's very hard. Now, all right, when you think about it, medical marijuana is legal in the state, but you can't go banking, all right? And the last bank, the Bank of Springfield, who was willing to do business with marijuana companies, and there is, you buy grow lights, there's money that's coming in from the sales, there's production, there's payroll, all these things that go on through banks. Well, the banks say no, because we think the federal government, and Jeff Sessions has sent out warning signals to medical marijuana. But not being able to bank, shouldn't we at some point in the legislature or somehow say, look, these guys are doing legal business in the state of Illinois. They are brick and mortar. They are substantial, as you were kind enough to take me on a tour of a production facility. These guys are up and running, and yet they don't have the courtesy of having a bank. Can't that be fixed?
That's one of the other things that going to be looking into this week to find out, what are our options? What can we do to help them? As you know, when we took that tour, it was very, very professional. What they're doing is on board with rules and regulations, and they're doing all those kinds of things. And so, I don't want to set them up for failure. I want to set them up to give them an opportunity to prove this. Of course, it's just through 2020, and we're at 2018. Let's give them an opportunity to continue to see it, just the progress and the support and the success of the program, rather than trying to deflate them and defeat them.
See, in the Bank of Springfield, it's not like I don't understand. I mean, with the federal government and you being a bank, you have to protect your other customers. I get that, too. I mean, I understand what's going on. It just seems like that the government is in the way of – the government can't seem to do anything, wants to be involved in everything.
Right. And I don't know what all is going on behind the scenes that possibly, you know, to make these decisions. But something that I'm going to be looking into actually this week to see if there's something that can be done. Because, again, we've given them an opportunity through 2020, and here we are 2018 trying to, you know, undermine the possible success of the program. So they've got to have some place to be able to run their business through. There's no doubt about that.
Right. I mean, when you think about it, it's a crime safety issue for the employees. I mean, literally, you just keep going on and on, and you realize that what it means to be able to have an account and be able to transfer money, especially when you're in a business. But on the other hand, I understand why the Bank of Springfield did what it did. Speaking of money, the shifting of funds from SIU, and I know this is not in your district, but their employees are, the shifting of funds of SIU from C to E, about $5-plus million. Do you expect to see something on the agenda involving this?
Well, that's another point that's very concerning, because, you know, what we all agreed to, and we put out something last Friday. All of us in Southern Illinois, the legislators, we agreed together that there needs to be some type of a study done first before you do something. Don't make that switch, that move of that money, and then do a study. So we'll see where that's going to happen this week also in committee and in discussion, because it just doesn't that is not how you do things. I don't believe you, and we all agreed to that. We agree that there needs to be some type of a study done as far as Carbondale and Edwardsville and the success and the lack thereof and all the different changing of programs and the different directions that they're looking to take, but not in the middle of a ball game. It's almost like the banks in Springfield closing on the medical marijuana program right in the middle of it, taking their feet, you know, cutting their legs out from underneath them. And so I'm definitely not for doing that.
Yeah, we put it on a pilot program, and then everything is done that can basically hinder that. So
that's right. Yeah.
You know what I noticed here today in the last 14 minutes and 55 seconds while you and I have talked? I've noticed you and your confidence level has gone up since when you were a freshman legislator. One of the first things is when I listened to all these subjects, whether it's tornadoes or the session or Walker's Bluff or marijuana money or SIU funding, your level of confidence and control of the subject matter seriously increased. You feel it too?
Yes, sir. Well, you know, I'm eating and sleeping it literally 24/7, going everywhere I possibly can go. If I had shorts on right now, you'd see I got goosebumps. I'm excited about being a legislator. I'm excited about working for the people. I absolutely love it. There's everywhere I go, there's so much to learn and try. And the other thing I learned a long time ago is the only dumb question is the one not asked. So I ask questions out the wazoo, and if I don't understand, I ask questions again. And so, just learning in all these different things, and people are so receptive, and they're excited to have someone that actually cares, that's out there meeting with them on a regular basis, that answers the phone, that comes to see them. So I just absolutely love every minute of it. And I will tell you this, still get nervous, and I tell people this, the day I don't get nervous doing something, as I think the day you go home. I had the opportunity yesterday to present a certificate to a Logan Church of God. It was their 100th anniversary yesterday, and so I got up to speak, and as I was walking up the aisle to get to talk to them, I was nervous, and I thought, well, I've been in church absolutely my entire life, but I thought, I was encouraged that I was still nervous, that makes you stay on top of your game, and I'm excited about what's going on. And with all the debacle of Illinois, there is hope. This is still a great state. It's worth working for. I quit using the word fighting because I'm not fighting. I realize that I'm working, and that's what the things that need to be doing and promoting Southern Illinois, working for tourism. And there are so many exciting, awesome things to do. Even though we're in a mess, taxes are bad, people are leaving, but I tell you what else, people are coming, people are looking for jobs. I'll shut up with it after I say this. When I took a tour of Crown Line Boats a couple weeks ago, found out from the vice president, they have 30 jobs open right now they can't fill because they don't have people with proper training. So I got on the phone, talked to John A. Logan. John A. Logan got on the phone, talked to Mantricon, and we're working on getting a program so they don't have to send those jobs out somewhere to get those products done, because they're in the process of bringing out 9 new different boats. And for them to do that, they need to fill these jobs. And something that you had on the radio just last week, there are openings of jobs in Southern Illinois. We need to plug people in that are interested in going to work. So, yes, I'm excited, and I'm loving every minute of it.